absolutely blow your mind.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
They're not only coming for your souls, they are coming to mess you up.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Week 4, your visit back to Philadelphia. What do you think is your reception is going to be, Doug Peterson?
I'd hope I get booed. You know, I mean, that'd make me feel welcome.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Still to come. Yes Network Yankees broadcaster Michael Kay. Plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Lots to talk about on this program. Still waiting to hear from the Boston Celtics on what's going on with their coach. And nothing like rumor and innuendo and conspiracy theories to fill the void as it has been filled for the last several hours on what's going on with their head coach, Ime Udoka. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Jared Weiss, who along with Sham Sharania, wrote the co-bylined piece on the initial news today that Udoka is facing suspension due to a consensual relationship with a member of the Celtics organization. He's going to join us in 18 minutes to time to give us at least some information before we send you out the door for a Thursday night football game. Huge night tonight between the Steelers and the Browns on Amazon Prime Video. That's something to talk about before we get out of Dodge. But speaking of streaming, we're live on the Roku channel, channel 210, on all Roku-connected devices, Samsung Smart TVs, and Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app, therokuchannel.com. I was streaming on the MLB app on the runway at San Francisco Airport on Tuesday night. Aaron Judge's final at-bat, because I just wanted to see if he would hit 60. So I heard the outstanding call of Michael Kay's moment in the booth with the rest of the outstanding Yes crew of Judge hitting 60. And then Stanton hit that walk-off grand slam. And then the first inning last night, another grand slam. Apparently that's never happened, where a team finishes with a ninth inning grand slam the night before opening up a game with a grand slam in the first inning. So lots going on in the world of the Yankees. And joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is a man who's got his own terrific radio show every single day locally in New York from ESPN. And yes, our friend Michael Kay back here on the program. How you doing, Michael?
I'm great, Rich. How you doing?
I mean, this has got to be like childhood dream stuff, right? Sitting in a booth, calling games, watching George Herman, Babe Ruth get tied by Aaron Judge. This is amazing. What's it like
amazing.
For you?
It is amazing. He's had an amazing season, and just to be just like a little fly on the wall or in a catbird seat, so to speak, it's kind of fun. I didn't think, you know, after they cleaned up the game that we'd see anybody approach this, and not only has he approached it, but, you know, he's done it in 7 fewer games than Ruth did it, now 6 after last night, so he's had a pretty extraordinary year.
Yeah, but last night he rips a double on the first pitch he sees. He had another double and then, strikeout and then a walk where people just don't want to face him. How is he handling all of this? I just see the Maris family. I remember when McGuire was tracking down Roger Maris, that family was being taken all over the country with the commissioner as well. Bud Selig was there. How's Judge taking the spotlight here?
You know what, Rich? It's been amazing. Like, you know, we all have heard the awful stories about Maris that, you know, there was such stress that, you know, his hair fell out. And I asked Aaron Boone, like, in the middle of the season, if he makes a run at this, is he going to be okay? Is he going to be able to handle the stress? And, like, Boone laughed and said, well, he's still got his hair. I don't think that's going to come out. And this is a guy, Rich, who bet on himself, who turned down $213 million. And that didn't affect him. In fact, it spurred him on to have one of the great offensive seasons of all time. We had Buster Olney on the show yesterday, and Buster said it is really, when you compare it to what's happening in baseball right now, the greatest offensive season that anyone's ever had. Now, I don't know if I'd sign off on that, but certainly in the top 10. So that didn't unnerve him. I don't think this will. You know, you would think that when you got, what, to 57, right, you'd start to feel it, and boom, he hits 2 home runs in the last game in Milwaukee. That made it 59, so and then the first opportunity he has back at the bat, in the next game, he hits 60. So I don't think it's affecting him at all. He seems pretty chill about the whole thing.
And, you know, just watching him go through it, and he's just murdering the baseball at a time when the Yankees needed to. The team essentially fell apart in August offensively and then physically as well. July wasn't post-All-Star break anything to shake a stick at either. This is, he is most valuable. This is exactly what you need from somebody like him to carry a team and then come through like he has been doing the last few days. I wonder what it's like to watch this in firsthand.
It's almost surreal because, to tell you the truth, I even mentioned it in Milwaukee. The last time up, he hit a 2-run double. And I said, this is the only guy on the planet that people are disappointed when he hits doubles. So, I mean, you could hear the groans yesterday at Yankee Stadium when he hit two doubles. As it's not enough. But, you know, he's also chasing a triple crown. So all the hits he gets continues to pump his average up just a little bit. And it'll be interesting because the top two guys in the American League are going to be playing the next four games starting tonight, Aaron Judge and Bogart. So, and I agree with you with the valuable thing, and no disrespect meant at all to Ohtani. I know there are a lot of people in Ohtani's camp, and he's had just a wondrous year. He's a unicorn. I don't know if we'll ever see this again. But if the word valuable in MVP actually means anything, Aaron Judge is the only thing that stood between the Yankees having the most historic blown lead of all time of 15.5 games. And, Rich, you watched the games. He did it with no protection in the lineup, which makes me wonder about some managers in baseball. Why'd you even pitch to him? But they did pitch to him, and he just damaged all the time. He carried the team. Otherwise, they would have blown that lead.
I mean, and we put together a full-screen graphic for our show yesterday, and the numbers that we're going to pop on the screen are not updated from last night. But he still does lead in every one of these categories, including, as you mentioned, the Triple Crown. And he's only 15 steals behind Cedric Mullins, too. I mean, it's insane. He's not like some plodding slugger that can't move around the bases. He's unbelievable, and that is why he is in fact most valuable. So this leads me to the final question, I guess, on Judge for the moment, for you, Michael K, is the future. He bet on himself, and he has performed in a way that is truly remarkable. I mean, the only thing that I can even equate this to in the same remote, I guess, area code, maybe the same church, but definitely the wrong pew, is Joe Flacco. Years ago, when the Ravens didn't sign him, and Steve Bisciotti said, "You win the Super Bowl, you can come and put the bag on my desk, and I'll give it to you." This is what he's doing. He may not win the World Series, but what he's done is amazing. What is the future there? Are the Yankees going to give him whatever the hell he wants? Because they should, Michael.
That's not how they play, though. Which is that's what adds the interesting part to it. Because, you know, you would think that the season that he's had, it kind of backs them into a corner to do whatever, but that's not how Hal and Brian work. You know, they will. They obviously have to raise him from the $30.5 million a year that they offered, which at the time would have made him the second highest position player in baseball, behind Mike Trout. But now you could actually look at this guy and say he's getting $40 million a year. Now I know the Yankees probably pushed themselves more than they wanted to give him 7 years, because next year he's going to play at an age of 31. And the Yankees are all about analytics. And the thing that frustrates a lot of people in baseball, there are no analytics on how 6'7", 282 guys age. It's just kind of a crapshoot, you know? So there's going to be, again, I'll reference Buster only of ESPN. He said the Giants are going to make a big run at him. You know, they need that big star, and they need a guy, you know, they're going to sell 99 uniforms and shirts at their ballpark. They don't have that right now, and they had a bad season, and they certainly have a lot of money. And he is from, you know, Northern California. So let's say the Giants come in and go, well, we'll give you 10 years, $400 million. I mean, you being a Yankee fan, as long as you have, do you really think the Yankees are going to say, okay, we'll give you $400 million?
Michael,
I'd be stunned.
Michael, $1.2 billion for a piece of AC Milan. Who are we kidding here? You know, and the Yankees probably aren't the number one revenue generator in Hal Steinbrenner's portfolio anymore.
I think they have the money. I don't think they do. Of course they do. The team is probably worth over $7 billion, but they do business in a certain way. Like, this is what this is worth, and this is what that is worth. And they usually, I can't say that it's going to be the case now, they usually don't let emotion come in to their decisions. And this one is going to be emotionally driven.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I don't know if there's any metrics either, Michael, to find wherever George M. Steinbrenner III is, in fact, buried, and have a seance to have him come out of his grave and make sure Hal gives him the money. Like, this is a total George M. Steinbrenner III maneuver, Michael. Well, like, let's go.
When the Yankees were in Boston, Rich.
Yes.
I was talking to some people involved with the Red Sox, and there's a chance they would make a run at
him. Come on.
And remember, George and Bernie are the only things that kept Bernie from going to Boston. And that George stepped in at the last moment and pretty much almost doubled the last offer that they had just to keep him. I don't know if that's the way they do business anymore. Now, that paid off for them because Bernie was very valuable for that team and played a big role.
Oh, yeah.
What could move the needle? Again, this is just Michael K. guessing.
I got you.
Is if Steve Cohen or John Henry of the Mets and the Red Sox really make a play for him, because I don't know if you could let your guy get away.
You can't. I mean, come on now. I mean, even that, and if I'm Judge, that's why, if I'm not mistaken, you know, Judge kind of played a little coy when he was asked when they were in Boston last, you know, maybe you're, and he's like, yeah, that'll be for the end of the season. And I'm like, way to go, man, that you drive it up. Drive it up. Like, he didn't deny, like, I would never come to Boston. Drive it up. But I would find it very hard to believe that John Henry coughs up the money for Aaron Judge that, for whatever reason, still they didn't do for Mookie Betts, who is just lighting up this town from which I'm talking to you.
But that might be the reason, Rich, because they're still furious in Boston that they let one of the best baseball players of all time get away. And, you know, they got nothing back in return. I mean, Alex Verdugo is a nice player, but he's not Mookie Betts. So since Boston is still simmering, and the big worry in Boston that you hired Chaim Bloom from the Tampa Bay Rays, are you going to operate like a small market franchise? And this would be the answer, no, we are not. So, but I'm not sure if Chaim Bloom wants to play in that end of the pool either. I mean, that's not the type of GM he is. But the Dodgers are a very analytical team, Rich, and you know they've taken deep dives. You know, they took a deep dive on Mookie Betts. Sometimes you have to be irrational, and I think it was Andrew Friedman who said it a long time ago, anybody who's rational about pursuing a player, either a free agent or a trade, will always finish third in getting that player.
Michael Kay, love it, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, in a couple minutes I have left with you, let's talk a little bit of football. Who's more jacked up calling your radio show every day, Giants or Jets fans right now?
Giant fans, because the Jets... I mean, that was such an unlikely win.
Mm.
I mean, it probably happens once every 400 years, so you can't say that they played great last week, but we'll see what they do against the Bengals now. But the general perception, though, in New York, Rich, is the Jets have more talent than the Giants. But they're also feeling the Giants might have scored by getting Dable. Dable looks like the real thing. Jet fans are still a little unsure about Robert Saleh, so we shall see. But here's the most... ridiculous. I hope you agree with me.
Okay.
I hate to disagree with you.
Yes, sir.
We have people calling in. You got to keep playing Flacco until they lose, even when Zach Wilson's
stop,
ready. No,
stop,
no, you don't.
Stop.
Zach Wilson's the future of the team. Either you find out what he is, or you've got to get another quarterback. It's like, I look what the Giants did with Eli and Kurt. He was a Hall of Famer, and they were 5-4 and had a chance to make the playoffs. And you know what? They said it's time for Eli to play. So even if Joe Flacco wins the next two games and they're 3-1. When he's ready to go, I'm sorry, you have to turn it over to Zach.
Come on, really? People are, what, somebody Queens calling up, somebody from my hometown of Staten Island saying, got to play Joe Flacco until the wheels come off?
Staten Island actually does say, you keep playing Joe Flacco until you
but
until
backup quarterbacks are supposed to do what Flacco has done. The 59 throws against the Ravens, that's what you, I mean, that was insane,
right?
But it was just still week one. Flacco should win these games. He's a backup quarterback who's won a Super Bowl, who knows the offense very well, who isn't physically falling apart, who knows these opponents. That's how he made his bones, is against the AFC North, which is the first month of the season for the Jets. And then let's see what Zach can do. 1,000,000%. I totally agree with you, Mike.
Has to be.
I totally agree with you, Michael.
Because by year three, you have to make a decision on year five, and you're not going to know anything about him. We even asked these people that call in, Rich, well, with Flacco, how many games do you think they're going to win? Well, a perfect world, 8. Well, you're not making the playoffs anyway. So what did you do with the year?
Before I let you go into your day, Michael Kay, I will be tuned tonight, and I love every at-bat. Now you're like, hey, welcome to YES. You're resetting. You're welcoming the national television audience.
Rich, you will not be watching me tonight.
What's going on tonight? Where are you?
It's Fox.
Oh, what about
tomorrow's
Friday?
Apple TV.
Come on now. You're not going to be.
No, I'm telling you the truth.
So you're not even Friday night. You're not gonna be.
If he hits it before Saturday, yes, does not have the call.
Oh man, are you going to the game? Are you gonna be there?
I'm gonna watch it with my son at home.
You know what, man? I first of all, you know I love you, right? You know I love everything about you because
love
that is
back.
Seriously. And I say this, you know, without any hint of anything but genuine. I love that about you. That's so great, man. And I know it's deep down, it kind of kills you that you're not going to be at the mic potentially for this. But you sitting next to your kid, I'm sitting next to mine. I'm calling him into the living room every single time the guy steps to the plate. This is that type of material for anybody
well,
who's growing up.
I mean,
like
you've
this.
Been in the business as long as I have. What do you think? I should? Somebody said, Michael, you have to go to the booth tonight with a metal chair and smash it over Adam Levine's head and just take over the call.
Well, I mean, there's that as well. There's, you know, that would be aggressive. That would be an aggressive maneuver.
It'd be a big story.
But, you know, they're not going to try and get you in on Friday night even? Apple TV? You can't. What do
Andrew
you think?
Andrew Marchand of the Post, this is unbeknownst to me. I have no idea that they're trying to make a trade of me, David, and Paul to make the call. But I mean, if you're Apple TV, are you going to do that? I mean, this is what you paid all the money for, a game like this.
I know. I hear you. Yeah, I know that you got your own crew. You can't tell your own crew, hey, we've got one of the most potentially historic moments. You're out. These other folks are in. I totally would get that.
Well, I hope if he hits it the next day or so, I hope Adam Amin has a great call or Steven Nelson, and I'll be enjoying it just like a fan.
It won't matter anyway, Michael. How about this for a great Yankee fan moment? It won't matter anyway because you'll be able to call his 70th home run in about 8 days. How does that sound?
You know what? Don't think that's out of the question.
Who's going to take care of the Astros for us? That's I'm just going to go straight up to that before I let you go.
I think the Yankees are going to have to take care of the Astros.
You don't think the Guardians might get them, the Jays, right? I don't know. But I guess the last one for you. I'm sorry to keep you too long. How does it work? Does it work where if the 3-6, do they recede?
No, they do not recede, which is silly.
Okay, so the NFL recedes. So it would be the Astros would get the winner of 3-6, no matter what. No matter what.
It's weird. So they could actually play the better team than the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man.
So Yankees, if they win the East, will play the winner of the Central, which would play the lowest wild card.
Okay. And
the Yankees, I don't think would have any problems with the Guardians, and the 6th seed. Well, you know, that's not going to be easy because it could be the Blue Jays or the Rays or.
Well, the Mariners.
I think the Yankees could handle the Mariners, but Castillo scares you a little bit.
I know. I wish the Yankees had gotten him instead of Montas. But that's Rich from Staten Island talking, not the Rich Eisen show from Los Angeles. Thanks for the call, Michael. You're the best. I love listening to you and Cone and and Paul, O'Neill, with all due respect to everyone else. You're a great listen with everyone. Everyone in the booth is a great listen. I'd love listening to the three of you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Please tell your family hello.
Right back at you too, sir. That's Michael Kay, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Breaking New York sports media news. Run tell that to the New York Post, right?
There you go. Yeah, Andrew Marchand posted the story literally right when Michael called.
It's an interesting story that Marchand is poking around on, and rightfully so, but
well, I think
Kay's not wrong, man. I'm sure Kay wouldn't mind being in the booth.
Yeah.
But what are you going to really? You're going to tell the Apple TV crew you've been doing it all year. Yeah. You're out at the biggest moment. Yeah. These three folks are in.
They don't use the same crew every game, though, do they?
They have two different
crews. Peacock has been switching around on the Sunday games, but they use the same. They use the same crew.
Oh, really?
But they swap out the. I think Jason Benetti's calling the play-by-play, and they swap out who the analysts are on Peacock, depending on the local announcer. No,
and they were
but
totally
Apple
different.
TV's had the same crew, I think, right?
Yeah, Hunter Pence and Katie Nolan. They do a good job. They do a good
job. Gotcha.
Tonight, the
Fox you can't
game.
Say you're out. I would have been so livid, if NFL Network at its birth, you got that big game between the Patriots and the Giants, the Patriots are going for 16-0, and it was easily the biggest broadcast. Hey, Rich and crew, you're out. The Fox or ESPN people are now in.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Like, no, you go with your crew. I totally would get that. I totally understand.
I get it, but it means more to Yankee fans, right?
It does. No, it doesn't. You're watching it just as much as anybody.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean anything to him.
But I mean, I have no connection to Michael Kay. Like, he's not my favorite announcer.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. For me, well, you know, I'm a diehard Yankee fan watching. Yes, they're terrific. I'd like to hear them. But
I just kind of feel like the Judge home run means more to you guys as Yankee fans than it does to anyone else. I get not switching them, but it would be nice to have his hometown guy.
Servicing your audience with your crew that you have lived and died with and they've been traveling around with, you can't just yank them out of the booth like that. You can't do that.
That's why they paid all the money for these games, and they just happen to luck into history.
Well, not yet. Maybe. You could hit two tonight on Fox.
You could.
I was supposed to do the game tonight from here, mixing it.
Uh-huh.
They moved it to on-site. I'm still doing the pregame and stuff.
Okay.
I'll be around. But, I mean, they moved it because they know.
Hey, man, this is it. Moments. This is big
Every
moments.
Money, you get two, boom. Two
Let's take
them.
A break here on the Rich Eisen Show. The breaking story out of Boston that still we're waiting for some resolution. Jared Weiss of The Athletic. He covers the Celtics. He's next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Tomorrow on Netflix.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. Joining us from The Athletic, kind enough to take our call in the middle of a very busy breaking story, joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vance phone line, who co-bylined with Shams Charania today on what is going on in Boston, covers the Boston Celtics for The Athletic, and joining us is Jared Weiss on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to chat with you, Jared. Thanks for calling.
Great to be here.
So what the hell is happening? How about that for an opener, Jared? What's going on?
Pretty much the perfect way to ask that question. There's a lot happening right now, a lot of moving parts behind the scenes. Trying to suss out valid intel versus speculation is extremely difficult in times like this with a situation like this. And so it's going to clearly take some time today to figure out what's really going on and what the real resolution is going to be. But there is an expectation that the Celtics are going to make some sort of statement and issue some sort of resolution by the end of today or tomorrow.
Well, I think this can't go into tomorrow, Jared, and I'll tell you why. Because you know, we had our friend Albert Breer, who covers the NFL for Sports Illustrated, on. He said he was just on Boston Sports Radio for 2 hours. I'm sure you're seeing it too. There's a bunch of people who are Googling female employees of the Celtics and just saying, could it be this person? Could it be this person? Could it be that person? That's untenable. That is awful. That is untenable. This is out there. This needs to be resolved. Stat, Jared.
That's one of the major conundrums happening here, is that a lot of people are getting harmed by this drifting in the winds, but the Celtics also have an obligation to themselves to make sure that they handle this right, and they take the time they need to make sure it's handled right. And so they obviously have to balance those two things. But I think everybody in this city and in the league is looking for this to be resolved as quickly as possible.
All right, so then let me ask you this. Why do we know about this? Why do you know about this? Why is this being reported before there is any resolution to it, Jared?
I don't know. ESPN was the first to report it. It was reported in a very vague manner. It wasn't clear exactly what it was. And I mean, immediately when that happened, my phone started blowing up about, is it this? Is it that? I think that we've gotten far enough down the road of reporting about the, you know, credit to Shams Charania at The Athletic having the first scoop that it was a result of a consensual affair in the or relationship in the workplace that was a violation of conduct rules. That's, I think, where we mostly assumed it was going. But, and the thing is, it's not responsible to name the person involved in the situation with Udoka. And so when that happens, unfortunately, it's going to lead to rampant and dangerous speculation.
Okay, so, well, it's not okay, but I guess that's just a turn of the phrase here. So what happens? What are you hearing is, in fact, occurring right now? Like, what due diligence needs to be done? The punishment, or do they know exactly what has occurred that is the violation in question, Jared?
It certainly seems like there's definitely a degree of fact-finding being done to determine what exactly has been going on. What is the exact nature of the situation? It's been termed as a consensual relationship at this point. And so, there's obviously several different ways for that to be determined. I'm not going to speculate on how that's being determined, but that is how it has been reported at this point. And so I think a lot of it is deliberating. How do you address this situation? I mean, we've been hearing a year-long suspension is the current direction it seems to be going. But it's hard to reconcile what makes a year-long suspension work versus either a shorter suspension that allows him to continue to do his job or an outright termination, especially considering he only has 1 year on his contract left after the season.
So a one-year suspension would be a de facto firing, is what you're saying, Jared?
Not necessarily, because he could come back at the end of that 1 year.
Oh, he's got one more year after this one, is what you're saying.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. But okay. So it's very rare for a coach to come in at the end of their as a lame duck in the NBA.
Yeah,
especially who has been as good and successful as a coach early on as Ime has. But also, how could you justify extending somebody's deal when they're currently serving a suspension for this?
Yeah, they're going to suspend him and then extend him. Like the, I've never heard of anything like that.
It rhymes, but it doesn't work in reality.
Wow. I mean, I could see your reaction over there. Chris Brockman, who's our resident Celtic fan. I'm having the same reaction right here. I don't know, you know, where to go other than, I guess, Jared Weiss of The Athletic here. Who is the assistant that's being bandied about? Joe Mazzulla as the one to fill in if there is the lengthy suspension of Udoka coming.
Joe is a really fascinating coaching candidate because he hasn't been coaching in the NBA for very long. He joined the Celtics from their G League team a couple years ago under Brad Stevens and very quickly started making waves in coaching circles and emerged as a major coaching candidate this offseason, where he was the runner-up in the coaching search at Utah that ended up being won by Will Hardy, who was the associate head coach with the Celtics last year under Udoka. So Mazzulla has very rapidly gone to the forefront of coaching candidates, and he's very well respected within the organization for his game planning on both sides of the ball, his demeanor, which is he's kind of a quiet, understated guy, very much like Udoka, not quite as much of a trash talker as Udoka is, but has that kind of similar demeanor that is similar to what Brad Stevens was and how Ime Udoka has coached. So he fits in to how this team operates pretty well. It's just that he was just this year getting promoted to the front of the bench. And it's very rare that an assistant coach goes from behind the bench, that second row, where you're not one of the chief assistants, to all of a sudden being in charge. But he is a very promising prospect. But the other issue, though, is that he has had some arrests back when he was in West Virginia, domestic violence arrests. And so that is where the story gets a little bit more tricky.
So why wouldn't, you know, you got a guy who kicked himself upstairs, who knows the team, knows the roster, knows how to coach, knows how to be a championship coach. Any thoughts of Brad Stevens being the guy, do you think?
I have not heard that at this point. I don't think Brad is looking to get back into coaching. You never know how a year off affects that. But I think that obviously it would be very destabilizing for the organization if he were to take on the coaching role at the same time as being in charge of basketball operations. I don't think he wants to take on that dual role. Mm-hmm. And it's very rare that actually works effectively just because of the amount of strain it puts on both of those positions. So it doesn't seem like that's happening. And especially because Mazzulla, while he is very early in his career, is clearly a well-qualified candidate and has the potential to grow into a really good coach the way Ime Udoka seems to be doing.
But it wouldn't be a first for Boston. I mean, there's a guy whose signature is burned onto the parquet floor who's done it. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So
I think the job is a little bit easier back then.
Maybe
a little bit more legwork to being a GM nowadays.
I guess so. I would imagine so. So I guess what's your best guess before I let you go, Jared Weiss of The Athletic here on the Rich Eisen Show? What is your best guess right now as to what is happening in the front offices of the Boston Celtics right now?
I would say at this point, it is very hard to see how Udoka could come back from a one-year suspension for a workplace misconduct issue and be the coach again. That seems like it's a very difficult bridge to reconcile. He is a very good coach. He is very well-liked, and he will probably go on to have a very good coaching career. It's just, it's in this scenario, if he really is being suspended for a year, it is hard to see this playing out with him being the coach of the team a year later.
Jared, thanks for the time, and I appreciate you taking the call as that everything is flying, and the situation is definitely not settled, to say the least. I appreciate you taking the call.
There'll be more to come for sure.
At Jared Weiss, MBA. Jared Weiss, NBA on Twitter. Follow him for the latest as well. Well, just when you thought Jaylen Brown retweeting Kyrie Irving's InfoWars madness was the worst thing that was going on with your team.
And Gallinari's torn ACL.
Well, I mean, right now you got to put the basketball stuff aside and see what the hell's going on.
I know.
But if you're suspending him for a year and he's got only 1 year left on his contract, what are you going to suspend him for a year and then he's a lame duck coach coming out?
Well, that's
impossible.
That's why Mannix is tweeting out, you know, just he might just resign.
Well, he doesn't get paid if that happens. I would imagine.
He might not get paid at all.
Will you fire him for cause?
Perhaps if it's a violation of organizational guidelines. This might be a without pay situation. Two wins from the finals. Two wins from a champion.
Well, there's just so much to speculate, and that's why the Celtics, I know they got
to
get it right, but
they got to
do it. They got
to
do it fast because there is too much of a void that's being filled with not enough facts that are being known, and there are people who you wouldn't even think about trying to find out who's in the organization that people are tweeting out. Could it be this person? Could it be that person that Udoka was with?
Well, as people
there's
are pointing
a family,
out,
there's so much garbage that's
you,
being put out there.
If you try
there.
To find the NBA.com Celtics page of the front office, they've taken it down.
No, I mean,
yeah, it's gone,
which is good. But
it's also a nutty sign of our times that also shows you that once this is over and the page is turned, to use the phrase, somebody's got to find out who the hell in the organization put this out there.
Yeah.
Before it was resolved. And for what purpose did they do that? To what? Prime the pump for Celtics fans to be ready to hear something about their coach, or it's just out there and done with. And you handle it and it's done. And there's not some amorphous, now what, 12 and a half hour, 13 hour period where we're left to wonder? And I know the page will be turned and the ball will be tipped and the games will be played. And
yep, but in the meantime, I mean, we're weeks away from training camp starting. We're 6 weeks away from the season starting.
Word. All right, we'll take a break, come back, set up tonight's games and our evening in sports, which is going to be dynamic to say the least, and then get you set for our Friday show. And that's how we're rolling to break here on the Roku channel, Odyssey, and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio outfit.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you're opening up more than just doors. You're unlocking potential. The potential to do your own thing, be your own boss, steer your own success, and blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van is built and designed and equipped to let you hit the open road and take on any goal you set to help you follow your passions, reawaken that spirit of adventure, and check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences right off your bucket list. Owning a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van lets you live, work, and play out your dreams, no matter how far off the beaten path they'll take you. And with 16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, and thousands of ways to customize, a Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. What are you looking up over there? You're looking up more fun stuff about how
Jerry Jones just said something.
Oh.
What about Micah Parsons having the sniffles or something?
Nope. About how he wouldn't mind a QB controversy.
Can I interpret that? I haven't heard the soundbite, but let me interpret this. I'm fluent in Jerry. Okay?
Yep, that's true.
I'm very fluent in Jerry Jones.
Uh-huh, I know.
Okay? That's why we have more drops of him than any other human being in the drop arsenal. I'm very fluent in Jerry Jones.
Get your damn act together.
He wouldn't mind a quarterback controversy, not because he thinks Dak is the wrong guy. That is not, do not take that cheese, and there will be tons of folks in our profession who are going to take that cheese. TJ, we're not taking that cheese.
Nope.
We're not taking the cheese.
The cheese stands alone.
The cheese stands alone. That is sitting right out there. Jerry Jones did not. What is the exact quote? Do you have the exact quote, or is it just a Twitter
feed? I don't have the exact quote. I have John Machado, who covers the team, paraphrasing. Saying that Jones wouldn't mind a controversy between Dak and Cooper Rush, said he'd walk to New York if it meant Rush played so well going forward that the Cowboys had a tough decision to make.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
He walked to New York.
Here's what I'm saying. He does not think that I haven't heard the soundbite yet. Do we have it? Do we have it?
It's going to be tight.
Apparently we're going to get it to you. I'm just saying, the way I'm interpreting it before even hearing it, it's not that he believes that Dak is the wrong guy. He would love for Cooper Rush to play so well that all the rest of the world that he knows would react in this manner, that there would be a quarterback controversy. Can you return to Dak? They are 1,000,000% returning to Dak. They are 1,000,000+1% returning to Dak. Does he believe Dak is the guy? 1,000,000+1% does he believe Dak is the guy. He would love for everybody out there to be talking about as if Cooper Rush is the guy, because Rush has played so well, the Cowboys are in first place, causing him all the pressure of having to return to Dak.
He played one game. What are we talking about?
He knows he's got to play more. He knows he's got to play more, TJ. And as much as he's like, we're not IRing him, he could come back in a month, he deep down knows that that's unlikely. He knows that he's probably got 5 more games with Cooper Rush if he's lucky.
I said this the very next day after that statement came out.
So what I'm saying is I'm fluent in Jerry. He wants Rush to play so well that the Cowboys are in first place because he's played so well that the season is still on track for the playoffs for Tyron Smith to return to from an injury in time. That everything is working so well. The Cowboys Super Bowl train is still on the tracks because Cooper Rush plays so well that the national conversation is a quarterback controversy, which in his mind is not a controversy at all. It's Dak's team. I haven't even heard the soundbite, and that's my interpretation of it. Now we have the soundbite. Okay, here it goes.
So you'd want that? You'd want that controversy?
Of course I would.
Okay.
Of course that means we'd won. If it comes in here and played as well as Prescott played, Rush played that well over these next games ahead, I'd walk New York to get there.
Do you think he can do that?
Well, I don't know that, but you can't find on record where I said I thought Dak Prescott could do it. When he stepped in and had the chance to do that, but he did it.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? You want to play well enough that a controversy does happen.
Correct, but
so why wouldn't he say
in
that?
His own walls, there's no controversy. It's Dak's game.
Oh, yeah, you're completely dead on. And I said when he said Dak could be back, he's trying to give hope. He knows everyone's going to talk about Dallas on all the sports
do
shows.
Do not take the Chiefs.
But honestly,
the line will be in the stack.
What's the fun in that?
Jerry invites quarterback controversy
exactly.
to the Cowboys.
Exactly. Of course.
Because the subtext to that headline will be he doesn't believe Dak's the guy. And that Cooper Rush has the opportunity to keep playing because if he plays
there
so well.
Go.
No. It's Dak's gig. Reads. As soon as he comes back, he's paying Dak all that money to be the Dak that Dak has always been. And you even heard him say, hey, I defy you to hear the soundbite from me when Dak was doing it to Romo.
Yeah. By the way, though, I don't care who is the quarterback. Like, if we're winning football games, you just want the best player to be on the field. And if it's Cooper Rush, I don't believe it is. But if it is and he proves me wrong, great. Let's go. I don't think a fan cares. Just get the best people on that field and win football games.
But a backup quarterback is supposed to do what
Cooper he's doing,
Rush
yeah.
just did.
What Jimmy
Joe
G
Flacco
did, Rich.
Just did. But Jimmy G, good one. You know what I mean? Like, that's what a backup.
Flacco did,
and then a backup quarterback is supposed to do it and then hand the job back. The same way anybody out there who's so fortunate to be able to have your parents as your babysitters for your children.
God bless
they're
you
supposed
you
to
do.
Take the child from you.
Love on them.
You're supposed to have them. They're supposed to win. The day.
Spoil.
Win the play date. Win the day.
Yep.
Win the dinner. Win the lunch. Win the overnight. Win the week.
Yep.
If it is a week that you can go on a vacation, if you hand your child to your parents, that when you return, they hand the child back.
Here you go.
That's the way it is. Okay. And that's
the way
grandparents view it too. Hey, love your kid. It's great. I'll take him or her 100%.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that child's
that's yours.
That's the way it works in parenting and grandparenting. And that's amazing. The way it works for backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes the backup quarterback is Tom Brady and never gives the job back.
But hey, that's a bonus, right? That's a bonus.
Which is why Jerry's inviting it. Hey, put me in that tough spot, Cooper Rush. I would be I'll walk to New York for you to put me in that tough spot.
I mean, I'm looking at Dak's contract. He's making so much.
He's not going anywhere except back on the field when he's ready to go back on the field. And Jerry Jones would love for him, if he's back week 7, he'd love for the Cowboys to be 6-1. When Dak takes the gig back.
Look, I'm saying there's no reason we shouldn't be 2-1 come Tuesday. That's all I'm saying.
$89 million dead cap after next year. Just saying.
Dak's gonna be Jerry Jones interpretation has been brought to you by the NFL app. You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. If it's the NFL, it's on Westwood One.
How about that?
And again, you're welcome. Do I know my Jerry Jones or do I not know my Jerry Jones? I didn't have to hear the soundbite. You just had to read the tweet paraphrasing it.
Just takes a nice chunk out of the pie.
That was him telling Dak, you better sign because I'm signing other people. And that's why there is less pie.
I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I mean, he was pissed off.
There is less pie.
There it is. There's less pie. Hey, you better sign. There's less pie because I just signed somebody else.
Just a quick Google search on Forbes of Jerry Jones. There's a reason why he's worth $15.8 billion. He knows how to get things done.
Yeah, I mean.
He can make deals, so yeah. Exactly. He knows what he's doing.
We haven't done this all week. I can't believe it's Thursday. We haven't done this all week. This a Bill Belichick press conference moment. Now, this is from Wednesday, and this is in advance of taking on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Yeah, buddy.
What other setup does this require? Does this require any more setup? He was asked about questions about his, readiness or preparedness.
Or the arm with the sleeve and stuff,
No,
right?
Just about the contract and stuff like that, or how good he's playing. I don't know. He was asked about Lamar. Here we go. It's been a while.
Let's do it.
This is today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Well, we prefer to win.
How have you seen him grow in the league? Obviously, he came in at
questions about whether he could handle being in the pocket, and it seems as if he's answered some of those questions.
Without a doubt. It's the type of player that's a MVP type of candidate. So I think he's more than answered him. Better we see what his contract is. That'll answer him.
A little bit of cheekiness there, huh?
Yeah, you got a little.
See what his contract is more than answer him.
Patriots took Sony Michel instead of Lamar Jackson.
Oh, boy. Jets took Sam Darnold instead of Lamar Jackson.
Well, Lamar wasn't going to be the second pick.
I mean, the third pick. You know how he could have been the third?
I'm saying at the end of the
first
round.
Do you know how Lamar Jackson could have been the third overall pick in the draft?
You're playing the results.
Won the Heisman?
Lamar Jackson could have been the third overall pick in the draft. You know how he could have been? If the Jets had taken him.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it.
You know how Josh Allen could have been the third overall pick in the draft? If the Jets had taken him.
Yeah.
But they weren't. You're playing the result.
Excuse me, sir. All it takes is one. Remember when Tim Tebow was a first rounder? Remember that?
But he wasn't a first rounder.
But the Broncos made him one, didn't they?
No, I'm saying Lamar Jackson was the 32nd pick of the draft that year. So no one thought he was a first round pick.
Except the Ravens when they traded back up to go get that extra
with
year
the
contractual
last pick
control.
In the draft.
Which, by the way, is coming
with
on the roof this year.
Pick of the draft.
By the way, nobody's pointed that out.
Yeah.
Ozzie Newsome's farewell present was, I'm going to bequeath you the next quarterback here. And I'm going to trade back in the first round for one extra year of contractual control, which, by the way, the Ravens are cashing in, aren't they?
Enjoy yourself.
What is the franchise tag number going
to be? Had he not, he would have just been out. No 50-year option, no nothing.
Have we ever considered that maybe, I don't know if we've ever said this, that maybe Lamar just doesn't want to be in Baltimore, or is that not?
Oh, don't start that.
No, I don't. I'm asking.
He was liking tweets of Photoshops of him in a Dolphins uniform.
There's got to be a reason he didn't sign.
Wouldn't that be something after all this time, after everything that happens, Tua gets rosened by Lamar?
That Tua looks pretty good right now.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. He looks like money.
Yeah.
We're back on
later, world.
Roku in a moment, but we'll see everyone else Friday.